And the excitement you hear is Sunday Night Live from the Calvary Church here in De Quincey, Louisiana, United States of America. We thank you. Thank you very much for clicking onto our website, because you see, we preach just one message, and that is that Jesus Christ, and He alone, is Savior of the world. Open your heart, open your Bibles throughout the world, all the nations we cover with the gospel, in every culture and language, for a message that comes through the dark night and into your continent and tells you about Jesus Christ. Then our prayer is that you'll turn from sin to the Savior, for He and He alone can save your soul. And now, the theme song that for many decades has introduced my sermons. Citywide crusades and auditoriums all across America. Before I preach, the choir sings. They will today. I'd love to tell the story. Let's listen. God, let's give the Lord a hand praise. God bless your heart today. And now, if you have your Bible, would you please turn to Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 5. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. My subject today is children don't play anymore. This text comes from the prophetic pulpit of the great prophet Zechariah. Israel were enslaved in Egypt, and also they were slaves in Babylon. But it was 1,000 times worse for them to be slaves in Babylon than in Egypt. The reason is set forth in the scriptural context. They were sold into Egypt. They sold themselves into Babylon. It is one thing for you to be sold, and quite another thing for you to sell yourself. At the time of this prophecy from your Old Testament, Zechariah beheld Israel's bondage in Babylon. They had refused to hearken to the voice of God. They had pulled away, the Bible says, from God. And Zechariah 7, verse 11 says they had stopped their ears and refused to hear. They had even made their hearts as adamant stones, lest they should hear the word of the Lord sent to them from former prophets who were anointed of the Holy Spirit. Now Israel is paying for her sins. 70 years they were in bondage under the Babylonian Empire. 70 years of captivity. The land was desolate, and the people were scattered as a whirlwind, the Bible says. There was silence deep, eerie silence in the streets of Jerusalem. The children were no longer at play. To Zechariah, this was a sign, just as it is today. It took courage for this prophet, with the wind blowing the beard as he stood and looked out across the nations. And he began to prophesy. The day will come, he said. God will return to Zion. He will be in the midst of Jerusalem. The streets will become alive with laughter. Boys and girls will play in the streets thereof. No crime, no anger. But as he spake, the children were not playing anymore. I want to talk about that. You see, in my lifetime, I have witnessed this change. Many are the memories of my childhood days. I used to come in from school, perspiring, hot day. I would take my books, throw them on the sofa or on the table. And I remember saying, Mom, may I go out and play? Because we looked forward to the time when we could run and stomp and romp in the yard, in the street, children playing in the streets. Oh, how I remember sitting on the porch, listening to the kids. They're playing tag. There's laughter. They're playing in the yard, the streets. They're playing hide and seek. They're riding scooters, wrestling, talking about their bicycles and how many reflectors are on them, pulling their wagons. Even in our poverty, we rolled automobile tires on the gravel as we played. We also played croquet and jumped on the trampoline. And then gradually, over the years, there were changes. Children stopped playing in the streets. Children don't play anymore. Question. What happened? Why don't they play now? I think it all began with the loss of innocence. I remember years ago, children would make a beeline for the bathroom, restroom, and restaurants. Back in those days, innocent children, 7, 8, 9, 10, went into the restrooms and there were subjected to all the pornographic drawings and pictures. And from then on, innocence was lost. And one dad said, it's time, son, for me to talk to you about the facts of life. The little guy looked up at him and said, okay, Dad, what do you want to know? This may surprise you, but from the age of 2 years to 5, 25 hours are spent each week by those little fellas and girls in front of the television set. Yes, they don't play anymore. Innocence has been lost. There's the computer. My space, your space, everybody's space but God's space. Cell phones, text messages, iPods, video games. It took them out of the street, took playfulness out of their hearts, and put it into an electronic world. They no longer play in the street. Oh, it's easy today as I preach on this broadcast to cast the blame. Who is to be blamed for this change among children? I remember a proverb that the Israelites were using in Ezekiel chapter 18. Here's what they said. The fathers I've eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. And the Lord God spoke out of heaven and said, As long as I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt never have occasion to use this proverb any more in Israel. And God made it very clear, Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son. And the soul, singular, that sinneth, it shall surely die. It's easy to blame the fathers. It's easy to blame the pastor for the instructions that should be given at home. It's easy to blame the school teachers and the Sunday school teachers. And anything but putting the blame where it should be many times, at the feet of the parents. Today, I read in the book of Genesis, chapter 37, Jacob and his son Joseph. Jacob loved Joseph so much that he made him a coat of many colors. The brothers became jealous of this father's affection for Joseph. They found him one day and caught him. And then they took him and threw him in a pit. It was said that they were going to kill him, but then one of the brothers said, Oh no, let's not do that. Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. So they did. And Joseph was sold down into Egypt. Now what shall we tell Joseph's dad, said these brothers. They said, Here's what we'll do. What a deceptive scheme was initiated. We will take a goat. We'll kill that goat and take the blood of that dead goat and put it upon Joseph's coat of many colors. And then we'll take it to Dad and say, Whether or not this is Joseph's coat of many colors, we know not. What say you? When they showed the coat to the old man, the Bible says, And he knew it, and said, It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. That was not true. It was a fake. But there is nothing fakery about those parents I'm speaking to right now on this internet and in this service, that you could go to a closet of your son and daughter, and there hangs that beautiful dress or that suit of clothes, the cap your son wear, the little shoes of the girl, and you could cry out in that bedroom, Without a doubt, an evil beast hath devoured my son and my daughter. The beast of alcohol, the beast of narcotics, dope addiction. My son, my daughter, has been devoured by riotous living. I'm speaking to many thousands of parents whose hearts are breaking now. Because you know that the devil is as a roaring lion, said the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 5:8. He roars around seeking whom he may devour. Let me tell you a true story. In the Mediterranean Sea, along the ancient coast of Greece, there was a great island there, and many people inhabited that Greek island out in the midst of the sea, 100 miles from anywhere. And the forefathers had in their vision to build a huge wall around that island. And stone by stone, brick by brick, they constructed a huge wall all the way around the island. And when the mariners came by, the fishermen, they remarked repeatedly how they heard the sounds of happiness. Children playing in the streets. Jovial, joking, laughing, cutting up, romping, having fun. Yes, it was a loud noise of children playing. And to those seamen, many weeks away from home, it was a beautiful sound. The government decreed that the walls must come down. They were torn down, and when the same mariners would come by the Greek island, they wouldn't hear the laughter anymore. The children weren't playing anymore. They looked over and saw them huddled together in fear. No laughter, no play. The walls of protection had been torn down. Ladies and gentlemen, many walls that Mom and Dad built for our protection have been, and by the recent acts of our government, are being torn down. The children don't play anymore. Oh, I thought when I grew up some of the walls my dad and mom built around our family were unnecessary. I didn't think we should have so much prayer. I wasn't so convinced that we ought to do all of these things. But Dad knew what it took to protect his family so we could play in the streets. And though I thought they were unnecessary, I see now the value of many of those standards imposed upon us. I remember when I was just a young child in school, Miss Constance, my teacher, looked back at me and said, "Marvin, what is the amount of annual rainfall in Brazil?" You know what I said? I said, "I don't care." She said, "I want to see you at my desk after the class." So I went up to her desk and sat down, and Miss Constance says, "I want to explain something to you don't understand. It's not the amount of annual rainfall in Brazil, but we are training your mind to mature and to think. We're building walls now so that someday you will be able to be an adult and think like an adult and assume the responsibilities imposed upon you by life." I used to get upset when Dad would say, "It's church time." One time I remember saying, "Dad, do I have to go to church?" And my dad looked at me and he said, "No, son, you don't have to. You get to." Church attendance builds walls. And some of you are missing too much church today. You're going to the big mega churches for entertainment. Your smaller congregations are suffering immeasurably. And we need to understand that these walls were so necessary. Prayer, Bible reading, church attendance. And I remember reading some time ago about the miracle of the Jewish nation. Do you know why there's still a Jewish nation after all of these thousands of years of being scattered all over the world? Because they insisted on building the walls by reading the Pentateuch, the Torah, and going to the Wailing Wall. The Jew is a Jew because they kept their walls. And I'm sorry to tell you today that many walls that have protected children and our own faith in God, those walls are collapsing at our feet. What a contrast. Zechariah the prophet said, "The day will come when the children will play in the streets of Jerusalem again." But Deuteronomy 32:20 speaks of children who have no faith. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this reminds me, and I have to bring the broadcast to a close today, but there's an old song that has meant so much to me, and I'm going to just give you a line of verse. "When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken." I think of Zechariah the prophet. Very bravely he said, into Jerusalem God will come. God will come back into Zion. And I pray thee will come into our nation, our churches, our cities, our homes and our towns. Oh God, give us faith to praise him for what joy is coming back to the church. The young people will play in the streets again without fear of death and total destruction. It's like the faith that Mary and Elizabeth had when they sat on the sofa when Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth in the first chapter of Luke. Elizabeth was expecting John, and Mary told Elizabeth her story, how that Jesus would be born. And the two ladies sat down on the sofa, and here's what they said. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. They were praising God, not for what was born, but for what was going to be born. And this is why we praise God today. You know what I've discovered after 64 years in the ministry? Get ready for the shock. No old people will go to heaven. Jesus said, except ye become as a little child, ye can in no wise enter the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean an advancing of years. It's talking about attitude. And so I close. My friends, someday, when the charioteers reel in the boundless steeds of fire, and when we hear the blast of 10,000 trumpets echoing across the sun-kissed hills of glory, and when we, the redeemed of God, pass through the gates of triumph and are welcomed by 10,000s of cherubim and angelic hosts, then will children play in the streets of Jerusalem, and all the redeemed will remember the cry of Acts 2:37, men and brethren, what shall we do? And the classic Pentecostal answer we have heard 10,000 times already, but even the echo through the hallowed halls of eternity will sound even better. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:39. For the promise is unto you and your children.